You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
It's one of the biggest problems of running a show is you do like a little pre-record conversation and it gets so fascinating that I let you go on and we record 10 minutes of a podcast and I have to stop and say, let's hit record. That just happened with Dr. Jack Cruz. Welcome to the show. It's been a long time coming. And as we were talking about, I think the conversation I had recently with Kevin McKernan really was the impetus for me reaching out to you to get you on the show, because I think you've been doing a lot of work in the same field. And what you're trying to highlight, what you just described to me, is that there is this missing connection that many people have, particularly Bitcoiners, with the history of this biomedical industry that has sort of emerged over the last century and culminated in COVID, the jabs. And I think everything that you just described really revolves around this SV40, this breaking of the gut barrier, and people being misled. You were mentioning Bobby Kennedy, not really understanding the true gravity of the situation until you had a conversation with him and Rick Rubin a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the story really started for me about 2 years ago, you know, when someone reached out to my nurse, and it was Rick's people, said, look, we want to do something with Jack. We want to get him and Andrew Huberman together. And Rick really wanted me to teach Andrew the things that he was missing. And I, you know, as Rick said in that podcast, I didn't reach back out to him for 6 weeks. I didn't want to talk about it. And the reason I didn't want to talk about it is because I knew talking to a guy that's affiliated with the Stanford Research Institute, potentially it puts a target on my back. The reason why? SRI is a big player in DARPA. And I have been targeted by DARPA for a long time because of the things that I know. And most of those things are around how electromagnetic pollution affects us, okay? That's a big part of what decentralized medicine is all about. So I was reluctant to do it. And I told Chantel at that time, I said, look, if I do this, we potentially could be opening up Pandora's box where many of the things that will come out are against the paradigm that's present. And it may not be the appropriate time for this to come out. And what she did, she convinced me that what we had just gone through in COVID was the perfect time, you know, to open Pandora's box because of, you know, all the things that happened with COVID, the lack of trust with doctors, the lack of trust with, you know, Fauci, gain of function, Barrick, the whole shebang. And that podcast, when you saw Huberman act the way he did and then has how he's acted for the last 2 years after it, that he's pretty much ghosted me after I gave him total access to the stuff that he needed to know. So then Rick said, okay, we're going to take it up another level. We're going to do a podcast with Bobby. And this is where Kevin comes into the story. Kevin McKiernan, probably I'd say 6 months to 8 months before that, you know, magically winds up with some vaccine vials. You know, they were spent, expired Pfizer vials. And he put them in the freezer in his company in Massachusetts. And eventually, through some of his own work that he was doing in the cannabis industry, he needed a molecular tool. He didn't have one available. He said, you know, I got these Pfizer vials. Let me go use that. He pulls it up, does some sequencing to get what he needs. And then he notices, boy, this is weird. There's an SV40 promoter in here. So he does what any good scientist would do. He talks to the people at his place, and then he just decides to alert people on the internet. So he goes on Twitter. And you know that Kevin's part of not only what I would call medical Twitter, but he's also part of Bitcoin Twitter because he's a Bitcoiner. So this comes on there, and you know how we all are. We follow, you know, people that we follow. And Kevin was one of the people that I followed because I thought he was a good actor. And he got into a big fight on Twitter with a guy named Philip Buchholz. And Philip Buchholz is a guy that I would tell you is a foot soldier, or was a foot soldier at that time, for the Faucis, the Barracks, the Bidens, the Trumps, meaning he was a paradigm scientist, very wise molecular biologist from the University of South Carolina. And he was very much a believer in the jab, the mRNA platform. He got sick and tired of listening to Kevin on Twitter. So what did he do? He decided to do the same test Kevin did on the Pfizer. And guess what he wound up doing? He wound up proving Kevin correct. And the reason why this had huge weight is because here's a guy that wanted to stick his dirty socks in Kevin's mouth to shut him up, and he winds up proving Kevin correct. Now, both of these guys have their work now repeated by multiple labs, okay? And just so you know, and I think you already know this because you and Kevin did a good job on your podcast, Kevin's article on this whole story is still in preprint. It's not been approved yet for peer review literature. Marty, you know, Bitcoiners, we always say, don't trust, verify. This should be a huge red flag for just about everybody, because they're basically keeping the story under wraps. And I thought, by going back to Rick and having Bobby Kennedy's voice on this would be important. Why? Because I think all of us, maybe I'm making a bad assumption about Bitcoiners, all of my people read Bobby Kennedy's book about Fauci, and it did an exceptional job of talking about Fort Detrick all the way to, you know, 2023. What it didn't do a good job of is talking Fort Detrick backward. And for those of you who are Bitcoiners that don't know about this story, I unleashed that story on the Danny Jones podcast in December of 2024. So this is at the end of this 2-year thing where I really let it all hang out. I tell everybody the entire story, but it turned out I told Bobby that day with Rick that the SV40 was in the COVID jabs. So what did that effectively do to the world? I just basically explained that DARPA, the DOD, the gain of function research is a span of 75 years. For those of you who believe that the messenger RNA technology was new technology, that is total fucking bullshit. This is the same problem that we had in the Qatar event. And the Qatar event was when they used SV40 indiscriminately, and I should say by accident, to develop the COVID jabs. Why? Because this was in a pre-molecular biology time in medicine. We didn't know, DNA wasn't even discovered yet. It was discovered in 53 by Watson and Crick. When this incident happens, it's 1951. And Salk could not get the polio jabs to grow in humans. So what did he do? He used the next best thing, which is primates. And he used African green monkeys, and he found out that on their kidney cells that he could grow, you know, his version of the jab. Well, it turns out that Bernice Eddy, who, as I've said many times, Kevin McKiernan is the modern day Bernice Eddy. Bernice Eddy did testing on Salk's vaccines before it went out to the world. And she found out that some of the monkeys still died. Some of the monkeys still got polio. She told her bosses, you know, completely ignored her, to be quite frank with you. And then what famously happens? A guy named Dr. Alton Ochsner, who runs his own hospital in New Orleans, Louisiana, it's on Jefferson Highway, brings his granddaughter and grandchild into the medical amphitheater, and he injects both of them with the Qatar Salk vaccine. His grandson dies in 8 days, and his granddaughter gets polio in her leg. She doesn't die. This is, you know, front page news in the Times-Picayune in New Orleans. It even shows up in the New York Times. To this very day, you can search it for yourself to see it's true. Bernice Eddy goes on to not only finding that the virus is still alive and it's not a good situation. She's the one, not Morris Hillman of Merck, which is what Big Pharma wants you to believe. She's the one that finds that SV40 and polyomaviruses are actually in there. And for those of you who don't know what SV stands for, it stands for simian virus. And this was the 40th one, but that means there was a whole bunch of others that were in there. And the government makes a decision to send this out to 350 million people at that time. Basically, what happens is the United States government seeds the world's blood supply, just about everything with this pathogen. What happens when you look at it now from 2023, you see from the time of the Qatar event to right about where COVID inflects, there's a 50-year history of these this huge cancer spike. The reason why this story became very big is because Alton Ochsner was known in my world, in the medical world, as the anti-cancer doctor. In fact, he was the first head of the National Cancer Institute. Nixon actually appointed him to that. And when Nixon took over in 71, remember, the war on cancer coincided with them opening up China and him going to visit Brezhnev in Russia.
What's up, freaks? Do you have a credit card? Are you getting cash back or airline points or points for some other service? Guess what? Those are shit coins. You want to be stacking Bitcoin. And I have some groundbreaking news for you. The team at Fold has finally released the Bitcoin Rewards credit card. They have a wait list. I'm going to be distributing the cards later this year. So you want to get on the wait list. Fold Plus members are going to get unlimited 2% Bitcoin back on this credit card. If you get on the wait list, they're up to $200,000 in prizes they're going to be given out. So get on it as quickly as possible. Go to tftc.io/fold and get on the wait list there. If you're on the wait list, you have the potential to win some of the prizes. Check it out. Sup, freaks. This rip of TFTC was brought to you by our good friends at BitKey. BitKey makes Bitcoin easy to use and hard to lose. It is a hardware wallet that natively embeds into a 2 or 3 multi-sig. You have one key on the hardware wallet, one key on your mobile device, and Block stores a key in the cloud for you. This is an incredible hardware device for your friends and family, or maybe yourself, who have Bitcoin on exchanges and have for a long time, but haven't taken the step to self-custody because they're worried about the complications of setting up a private public key pair, securing that seed phrase, setting up a PIN, setting up a passphrase. Again, BitKey makes it easy to use, hard to lose. It's the easiest 0-to-1 step, your first step to self-custody. If you have friends and family on the exchanges who haven't moved it off, tell them to pick up a BitKey. Go to bitkey.world, use the key TFTC20 at checkout for 20% off your order. That's bitkey.world, code TFTC20.
Probably the biggest part of the story that people don't know is that Ochsner was tied to Clay Shaw in a big way through the JFK assassination. Why? After Ochsner hires two doctors, these would be like two doctors that the way you should think about them, y'all all know the story of Oppenheimer. You know the story of Einstein. You know the story of how he built the bomb in about 9 to 12 months. Through Operation Paperclip, bringing all the scientists over here to build it in the desert. The same thing happens with Ochsner and SV40. He hires the smartest lady at the time. Her name is Dr. Sarah Stewart from the University of Chicago. She actually trained at the same place where Enrico Fermi is, where they're actually doing stuff on the Manhattan Project. She's an expert in viral causes of cancer, okay? She's been relatively lost to history. The second lady hasn't been lost to history. She's the one that's probably the most interesting part of this story and how it ties eventually to Kevin and Buchholz. Mary Sherman is an orthopedic surgeon who trained with Enrico Fermi. She's an expert in radiation. In fact, her chops at the University of Chicago were around a disease that's pretty rare. It's called osteosarcoma. It's a tumor of the bone. And she was using radiation techniques at the time to try to treat these tumors. The craziest part of the story is both of Sarah and Mary were classmates at the University of Chicago Medical School in 1936. So that's where this link comes in. And Sarah is kind of like, I would tell you, she was kind of like me. She was actually the first person that ever linked viral infection to cancer causation. Prior to that, everybody thought she was crazy, but who didn't think she was crazy? The forerunners, Marty, of what would eventually become DARPA, okay? And that's OSS and ONI, and she was in that operation with Mary. So what happens? Oster hires both of them after this event where he kills his grandson, and their modus operandi, Oster goes from being an FBI liaison for J. Edgar Hoover to a CIA asset. Some very prominent politicians that you probably have heard of, one specific, Hale Boggs, who was part of the Warren Commission. He was also part of the congressional delegation, along with UEP Long's son, who was the senator of Louisiana at the time, to appropriate a lot of money, clandestine, covertly, to buy a linear accelerator and place it at the U.S. Public Health Hospital on Henry Clay Boulevard in New Orleans. Magically, Sarah Stewart gets reassigned by the military to the U.S. Public Health Hospital at the same time. And Mary Sherman is hired by Alton Oshner to work in the Department of Orthopedics at his new hospital on Jefferson Highway. What happens then? The first clandestine bio weapons lab forms in New Orleans. It has multiple different places. It's not one place. You'll hear from other people that know parts of the story, kind of like Whitney Webb, Godwin, I would tell you Judith Vary Baker. Judith probably has the best information on the biologic side. But this is the side that Whitney and Mark don't really know a goddamn thing about and how it fits this whole story. Who works these labs? Judith is the lab tech. She's a young student from Florida who is fascinated by Sarah Stewart's work. She wins a high school project about cancer in mice. She gets evaluated by the people that Oshner has out there. He brings her in and says, we'll put you in a Tulane medical school. If you decide to come and work in our lab, you're going to be working under Mary Sherman. The two guys who are what I would call the lab runners or lab techs of this clandestine lab, Lee Harvey Oswald and David Ferry. So for any of you who think this is total bullshit, I can tell you, you don't know this maybe about me, but I worked at LSU. I was a resident there in neurosurgery from the 80s into the 90s. And magically one day I happened to go down into the basement of Oshner because I spent 2 years of my residency there. And I saw this nuclear weapon-like looking thing laying down and that we use for targeting for brain tumors. And it just dawned on me to say to the biophysicist that was there, how in the hell does a small little community hospital have a $100 million piece of equipment? I said, we have trouble getting equipment for spine surgery here. How do we get this? And he said to me, he goes, well, this is above my pay grade. He goes, you probably need to go talk, you know, to some other people. So I went to talk to my mentor in neurosurgery, and he just chuckled at me. He goes, you don't know the story, do you? So he sits down and tells me bits and pieces. And then I decide to go back and talk to the principals. 6 months prior to me going to Oshner, I had a nurse that worked with me in the emergency room at Charity Hospital. Her name was Virginia Garrison. You could probably guess whose daughter she was, Jim's. And she sat me down one day when we went out drinking to a place called St. Charles Tavern. And as she got more loopy, I got more truth. And she just warned me. She goes, I know you're at Oshner now. She goes, but you need to be really careful with these people because the truth be told is that family was involved with Clay Shaw with the JFK assassination. The craziest part of the story, Marty, first year of my residency, guess who's filming JFK in the basement of Charity Hospital? Oliver Stone. So the girl that you contacted today to set this podcast up, Chantel, she runs into Oliver Stone and gets a Wendy's smoothie spilled all over her. True story. So you can fact check this. So this whole story is going on. And if you go and watch the movie, I'm going to tell you there's two key points that tie to this story I'm laying out to you that you need to remember. There's two scenes where Oliver Stone shows mice and rats, but doesn't talk about them at all. Okay? It's there, but doesn't talk about. Then the last thing is the last picture in the movie is the one that you and I were chatting about right before you hit the record button. Richard Helms, the head of the CIA, admitted in 1979 that Clay Shaw was in fact a CIA asset. Just so you know, the federal government, specifically the FBI, and at this time now DARPA, did everything they could to make sure that that linkage was never made for Garrison, because the government was very concerned that Garrison was going to pull Dr. Osher into this story. Most people in New Orleans probably would have a huge problem if Osher is on trial or being brought. Why? Because he's looked at as, you know, one of the most successful doctors in the history of New Orleans. He was actually king of Mardi Gras, believe it or not, at one time. And the other, you know, real big problem is that he employed a lot of people in the city of Nashville. So it would be really hard to link him to this story and get a fair trial, you know, in New Orleans. But I'm going to tell you, to this day, I think this was Garrison's biggest mistake. If he would have put Osher on trial, then we would have found out exactly how Mary Sherman was killed. She was killed 6 months after JFK was killed. And magically, she was found in her house. Her whole arm was disintegrated. Half her thorax was disintegrated. Why? Because someone, I'll let you guess who that someone is, took the grounding cables off the Linac. She's the one that had to go back and make the concoction that they were eventually going to give to Jack Ruby. Why? Because after JFK was killed, Oswald was killed by Ruby. Judith Ferry Baker ran back to Florida because she was scared shitless. And David Ferry was absolutely, he was on the run. Okay. Where did this story plop in right here to me and Rick Rubin on the podcast? I knew that Bobby Kennedy would not listen to me about the SV-40 story until I told him a key thing that no one would ever know. So what did I drop on that podcast? If you go back and watch it and see Bobby's face when I said it, I said, Bobby, you remember the day that David Ferry got killed and Jim Garrison was at the death scene? I said, you know that he found Sarah Stewart's, part of Sarah Stewart's viral thesis in David Ferry's apartment, right? I said, didn't you answer the phone? Garrison was looking to talk to your father, but wasn't it you that answered the phone? And he looked at me and he's like, how the fuck did you know that? So I was trying to signal to him, because the next thing I told him was the story of Kevin McKiernan. I wanted him to know that SV-40 spanned 75 years. The bioweapons lab that we're talking about was in New Orleans at the U.S. Public Health Hospital on Magazine Street and in St. Charles Avenue. It had three locations. Sarah Stewart was the one that was running the one on Magazine Street. Judith Ferry Baker was the one that was on St. Charles Avenue at Lee Harvey Oswald and Ferry. And then the U.S. Public Health Hospital is the other. So why didn't Philip Buchholz or Kevin McKiernan understand functionally this whole story about SV-40 and the COVID jabs? Pretty simple, Marty. It's a clandestine operation. It was never put in the literature, ever. In fact, if you go back and look at the NIH website, everybody from 1951 to 1959, this story is whitewashed. It's pulled off. So I would tell you, this is probably the primordial version of AI. They censored all the information so you can do it. So you know who was the person that let the cat out of the bag? 1955 New York Academy of Science meeting. Bernice Eddy gets up and at the end of her talk, casually drops, oh, and by the way, all the polio jabs are filled with SV-40. And dude, her career literally is over that day. They even took her phone away, okay? She's the first doctor that's effectively canceled by the industrial military complex. The story that I have been trying to tell for a long time is the reason why Robert O. Becker gets canceled by the same group of people. Why? Because he's doing work on non-native EMF electropollution for the U.S. Navy. And the story that people don't really understand is how this ties to the progression that I made in the Danny Jones podcast. This is MK Ultra, graduates to SRI, Stanford Research Institute. Then magically under Obama in 2013, you have the Brain Health Initiative. All of a sudden, everything goes to Central and South America. So I would have thought in some of these podcasts, you know, ones I did with Danny, ones I've done with Adrian D'Amico, ones I did with Bulwarg, but the last one, the big one, was when Breedlove came down here for 4 days and interviewed me, told them bits and pieces, and no one's asked me the real question. Why in the fuck did this thing morph? Well, turns out another guy, a part of this program, is a guy named Alan Fry. In the late 60s, he takes the work of Jose Delgado, the guy that everybody knows about the bull and the wires in the head. And then I told Danny, at the end of this process, they found out they didn't need wires, they didn't need chips, they could do it with light. And he goes, what? That is the last part of the story that nobody seems to understand. So they begin to realize that they can use light frequencies to destroy the leptin melanocortin pathways in the brain to control people. They don't need LSD. They don't need mescaline. They don't need anything else, okay? And the reason why this program gets changed is during its evolution, they find out that people that have heavily melanated skin are the most difficult to control, okay? So there's another DARPA program that you may have heard about. I'm sure Whitney Webb and Mark Godwin have heard about it, but have never linked it to this story. It's called the Targeted Individual Program. In other words, how you control people utilizing remote technology. Well, who's the guy that actually really discovered this whole thing? Alan Fry. Alan Fry is looked at a good guy in my world. Why? He's the first guy that showed that when you zap a brain with any type of electromagnetic radiation, it opens the blood-brain barrier. So you can take bad shit and get it in. What magically happens in the United States at that time? People start making processed food. What also magically happens? Drugs start to come on market, and they have a lot of fillers and preservatives in them. Guess what? All those fillers and preservatives and all the fake processed shit was really about. It was about figuring out how to get toxins from your gut into your brain so that you could electromagnetically target them. That is actually what happens between MKUltra into SRI. What do they find out in SRI? Where does the program stall? 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011. That's magically when Obama says, we're going to get rid of incandescent bulbs, we're going to go to LEDs. What do they find out? Because LED bulbs remove UV and red light, have a huge blue spike. It turns out the blue spike can actually be used to control people through the dopamine pathway. How does that work? You go back and listen carefully to what I said to Danny, and he clearly didn't get it, even though he's done podcasts with people that told him this in the past. Dopamine, or I should say melanin, breaks down into dopamine. If you open the blood-brain barrier, dopamine floods the brain and it causes brain damage. Anybody who's a healthcare practitioner, I guarantee you, when Kevin listens to this, he'll understand it, knows that when we use dopamine in an ICU setting, we have to be extremely careful with it, you know, when we're trying to elevate their blood pressure, because a low dose, a medium dose, or high dose can kill you. When people are in the ICU, they're around electromagnetic devices. This is the reason why. Because we're flooding their brain with dopamine, we're flooding their brain with serotonin. There's even something called the serotonin syndrome that y'all can look up and fact check Uncle Jack. This is the key things that Alan Fry finds out for DARPA. And then what does DARPA originally do? Not only are they using directed energy weapons to try to control this, they are now checking this at scale in the United States. So what two things happen at the end of Obama's term that you guys may remember that's tied to this story? There is two things that happen. The first thing is a young African-American attorney who went to Florida State named Myron May goes into the Florida State Library with a gun, shoots the library up, doesn't shoot anybody else. And what does he do? He sends 10 people a package with the story of what I'm telling you right now. And he says, I know they're targeting me, but I don't know why. How did this all start? It's a very interesting story when you delve into it. He's comes from a poor background, had no medical problems. He had a Fitzpatrick score of 4. He wasn't like Nairobi, Kenya, but pretty dark. He starts to date a pediatrician from New Mexico. And magically, after they're dating for a while, he starts to complain of horrible back pain around his kidney and adrenal gland. He starts telling her, I think I need to go to the doctor. She goes, no, just treat it this way, that way. He goes to see a doctor in New Mexico who's a known entity in the DARPA program. He gets prescribed medications for ADHD. The pediatrician goes, why in the hell would they put you on something like this? What happens from there? He goes back to Florida. His behavior becomes more bizarre. He's telling people that he hears voices in his head. He has horrible pain in his chest and he doesn't know why. Ultimately, something happens to him where he figures out that somebody from the outside is actually targeting him for a reason and he doesn't know why. Here's the key part of the story, Marty. Turns out when you have a lot of melanin both inside and outside your body, this direct targeting device is bidirectional. See, when you don't have a lot of melanin, when they shoot it into you, you actually become a zombie, an obedient idiot. But when you're highly melanated, because what does melanin do? It absorbs massive amounts of radiation. For those of you who don't believe this, you can actually go look at the tests that we did on the hydrogen bomb, okay, on the atolls in the South Pacific. You may be shocked to hear this, but when we did that test, the United States military didn't even know what the thermonuclear capability of the bomb was that they were going to set off. Turned out they thought it was going to be about 7.5 megatons. It turned out, reality of the test, it was 15 megatons. That means that the blast area went into areas where regular people from the South Pacific lived. There's pictures that show these people lost their melanin in certain places on their body. You know why? Because that melanin absorbed the radiation blast for them. Okay? That's documented out there. So the government begins to realize that if they're going to use these devices as a weapon of war, that they've got to test it at scale on different folks. Turned out all the stuff that you hear about the TI people that are out there, these are people that are the randomized controlled clinical trial of DARPA on their own people before this weapon is ready for prime time. Just so you know, Marty, you may be asking, well, the Russians had the same technology as us. Why don't we see the same program there? Well, the Russians try to warn us. And this is where Becker's research comes in. Do you know, and you can look this up, there used to be something called the woodpecker frequency that emanated from Ukraine that went all the way around the globe at a specific latitude. This was an EMF device that the Russians put out to warn the United States that if you guys don't change what you're doing in terms of adopting electromagnetic radiation through cell technology, you're going to create a huge problem for people. And then when the United States military didn't listen to them, what did Russia do? This is where the Moscow embassy event happens. Remember, you probably heard as a young man about Havana syndrome, where yep, all these guys in Cuba got zapped, right? You probably don't remember learning anything about what happened in the Moscow embassy. The Russians took a pulse microwave device and pointed it at the U.S. embassy in Moscow from 1967 all the way to 1973. In that time frame, they had more diagnoses of tinnitus, Meniere syndrome, voices, mental illness. But here's the big one. We had 3 straight ambassadors develop blood cancers. Okay? Turns out in 1973, Henry Kissinger, Secretary of State, has to give hazard pay to anybody who was in the embassy at that time. Do you know how they solved the problem? You want to know where the idea of tinfoil hats came from, my friend? They put tinfoil all up in the U.S. embassy when they found out what the Russians were doing. And what did the Russians tell them? We're trying to warn you that what you're about to do is going to be a big problem. 1973, Marty, guess what else happens in 1973? Becker does the key paper on the sanguine antenna to use RF radiation pulsed to check all the Trident submarines all over. And he finds out through his work that this is a huge problem. So the Secretary of Navy and the other parts of DARPA know that this is a big issue because they're working on both parts of this story. So Becker gets so frustrated from 73 to 77, kind of like Kevin was about his story that you've been documenting with him every time you have him on. And he goes on 60 Minutes and tells the world the truth. Guess what happens to him? He gets fucking Bernice Eddied. Literally, they take all his money away. How do you censor a scientist? You just take their money away. And basically, a guy that's twice nominated for the Nobel Prize for his work in tissue regeneration, utilizing bioelectricity, gets zapped. Why? Also, the government continue this DARPA program that then gets morphed in 2008. First to get rid of incandescents and then to put LEDs, then it gets even more nefarious. Obama says we need to figure out how to get brown people more controlled. So they pick Central and South America. Why? They've got a good mix of Fitzpatrick's 2s, 3s, and 4s. They go down there and they start to perfect the targeting. What are they using to deliver the targets? They're using processed food. They're using jabs. They're using geoengineering. Things fall from the sky. And you may be saying, well, how does this really work, Jack? Like, what's the mechanism that's tied to it? This is where you don't get any of the Whitney Webb, Mark Godwin people understanding. When you open someone's blood barrier and you open up their gut barrier, that means that big toxins, higher atomic mass than a hydrogen proton, goes into places that it's not supposed to be. So, Marty, you're a smart guy. I think you know that Intel and AMD, when they make semiconductors, they have clean rooms, right? They don't want anything in there. Turns out your brain works on the same mechanism. How do we know that? Guess what Becker's work was on? He's the one that proves that our body works by semiconduction. They already took his research out. So what did the government do? They take high atomic mass elements and deliver them in ways that you can't imagine. How does this work, Marty? You have places in your body called the circumventricular organs. And remember, I'm a Bitcoiner, but what's my day job? I'm a brain surgeon. So I know a little bit something about the brain. The circumventricular organs sit around your hypothalamus and your thalamus. These are areas where you never have a blood-brain barrier. These become the target of DARPA. They start to deliver these things. Do you want to know why geoengineering really is a problem? Not only does it block the sun, but when this shit falls down in the ground, those elements wind up going through places where you don't have a blood-brain barrier. And if they can convince you to use those earphones that Apple sells, then they can really get you because it lets tons of stuff in. So all the keto snacks that all the food gurus want to sell you has nothing to do with the food. It has to do with all the shit that they put in there that's manufactured that has a higher atomic weight than should. What's the issue with drugs? Everybody knows the story about Columbine and every other school shooter, but you've never put it together. It's not the SSRI drug. It's the fillers and preservatives in it that are a problem. Here comes the big one, Marty. This is something Kevin didn't find out, but I'm going to tell you. We find out that every jab, not just the Pfizer one, every single one out there, including the one that was used in China, has 51 to 55 elements that are not supposed to be in there. You want to find out the really interesting part? All jabs have 100% chromium in them. Do you know why they pick chromium? Has a +6 oxidation state. What does that mean? Negative to +3. That means it's a much more tunable atom when it interacts with electromagnetic radiation. Want to hear something even crazier? Chromium isn't found in every single drug that Big Pharma makes. Did you know that?
I did not.
Right. So it gets better. You remember Aaron Brockovich? Remember the story about PG&E? What was the element that caused cancer in the people out there around their power lines in that place? Hexavalent chromium. Isn't that interesting, huh, Marty? So you got the story of these high atomic elements with non-native EMF, and it's always associated with these unusual diseases that humans are getting. This is the collateral effects of the bioweapons program. But it turns out, what DARPA finds out, is that the people that have the darkest skin are difficult to control. So why did I have to be careful with Huberman? Did you know that Huberman's father was a condensed matter physicist at Stanford? You know what that means? He studies things like melanin. I was concerned that Huberman's father was part of this program, and that's the reason I really didn't want to go and talk to him. You know what else Huberman is famous for studying? Cephalopods. You know what cephalopods use to get away? Ink. You know what the ink is made out of? Melanin. I didn't know if Huberman knew more than I thought he did. I found out that he's a fucking idiot, okay? So that was a good thing, but he never put two and two together.
Sup, freaks. Bitcoin is the ultimate scarce asset. Join Bitcoin macro expert Nick Bhatia at a live online event on March 17th for death, taxes, and 21 million. Learn how to shield your wealth, leverage tax-advantaged accounts, and secure your Bitcoin for future generations. Your financial advisor, accountant, or attorney might not be up to speed on Bitcoin, so invite them to join too. Register now at unchained.com/TFTC. That's unchained.com/TFTC. March 17th, be there.
Basically, what happens is they go down to Central and South America and they figured out the mix that they can use to control people. Do you remember the last year under Biden that Mayorkas and Biden opened the borders and that people were being bused to certain places? Those were the people that were heavily melanated that they put in places so they could control them. And how would they do that? Through altering frequencies on LED bulbs and the cell towers that were around them. Guess who else was eventually part of this program that Whitney Webb and Mark Godwin haven't figured out yet? That's where Elon Musk comes in. Elon Musk will be the useful idiot 10 years from now. Why? Because everything will go from a terrestrial ground-based level to above your head. Why? They're gonna do the same thing that Delgado did in the 60s. Figure out how to do it utilizing HARP arrays. They're gonna figure out how to do it using satellites through targeting, okay? This is the reason why you see people like Callie and Casey Means in the MAHA movement. Casey and Callie are tied to making sure that Bobby can't act. In other words, you've heard how Saylor uses the term ossification. Well, Callie and Casey are ossification on this other side, so that Bobby never gets to this story. They're gonna let Bobby fix the food. They're gonna let Bobby fix this, fix that. But they have figured out in Central and South America that all they need is the messenger RNA platform to continue to deliver these things in. And these papers out there, Marty, they're out there that show you the jabs have these atoms in them. When you ask yourself the question, you listen to the functional medicine guys. Why is it that the vaccine schedule is given to children? Well, what's the other protection system that we found in MKUltra, that we found in SRI, and that we found in Brain Health Initiative? Myelin, not melanin, myelin, the outside electrical insulator of the brain, doesn't show up in people till they're 25 years old. So if you wanted to create billions of useful idiots to control, wouldn't it be smart for you to get your technology in them before their brain was myelinated or their skins or interiors were melanated? So this is the reason why from 1986 to right now, we went from 6 vaccines to 72. Because the more of that you get in, it's like having an A team, a double A team, or a triple A team. Got it?
Yep.
That's what's going on. So to give you some more juice for this, before Myron May did his little maneuver at Florida State, do you remember the guy that went into the Navy Yards in Virginia and Baltimore? Do you remember the key thing that is very hard for people to find now? He had three letters carved into the rifle that he used to kill the people. ELF. Know what ELF stands for? Extreme low frequency radiation. That's exactly what they're using. And it turns out the Frye effect that most of you can go study, this is pulsed microwaves. That's what they used in Cuba. But it turns out that you can use pulsed RF. That's what they were testing in the people in the United States. And it turns out RF is much more difficult with people that have melanin. Did you know that that Navy shooter was also an African-American? Now, he killed 13 people, but he killed the people that he thought were targeting him. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
They have now, for the last 10 years, think they have a handle on how now to target these people. So now they're bringing people that have brown and black skin into the United States, into places where they think militarily they will need it. And when they need them, they'll turn it on. Let's get back to Elon Musk. Go look at any post from Elon Musk and Neuralink. You know what he says? You know what's on Twitter? Hey, we took this guy that's paralyzed and we put our device in him and now we can make him walk. Isn't that great? So that's the utopian side of the technocrat. But you know what? You know why they're doing that?
They always start
you
with the paraplegics. That's the that's how
no,
they
No, but do
it.
You know why? It's no, you can laugh, but I don't want you to laugh because I'm not laughing. Do you know why they picked them?
No.
Because people that are paralyzed have an open blood-brain barrier. People that have neurologic damage have an open blood-brain barrier. So guess what? They're the ideal people to treat. Do you think Elon Musk knows this? No, I don't think he does. But I think they do. In fact, Elon Musk just came out in the last 3 months and said non-native EMF has no effect. That's how I know he's the useful idiot. If anybody should know that it has an effect, it's Elon Musk. He's a fucking engineer. But guess what? He doesn't know anything about Becker's work either. Why? Just like Bernice Eddy, it was whitewashed. That's the reason why Kevin McKiernan didn't know anything about it, why Philip Buchholz didn't know anything about it. So what am I telling you right now? Why'd I go to Prague, Bitcoin Prague, to warn all you motherfuckers that have Bitcoin that they're going to do the same thing to you? And if you think I'm lying to you, Marty, you can do your homework on this one. Recently in China, they just targeted someone in the Ethereum network that had $1.4 billion and got him to sell his money. Do you know why? He was programmed to give his keys up. So here's why I really want to talk to Marty Bent. I don't want any Bitcoiner to remember their seed phrases ever again, because now they have a way to get it. Got it? That's my message. That is really my take-home message for guys like you, because guess what? They killed Satoshi. Okay? They know they can't control it. Now they're trying to figure out ways they can get to it. So the SV40, as I said in the Danny Jones podcast, is to taper the Ponzi scheme. It's to kill a lot of people that are due money. When I told Kevin that, he was stunned. Kevin gets where I'm going with all of this. But this part of the story that nobody has really asked me about, like, how do all these things fit? Why are they all there? I decided Marty Bent was the right place to drop the nuclear weapon. Why? You're a Bitcoiner. You've had Kevin on multiple times. You've talked to Whitney Webb. You've talked to Godwin. You've talked to all these people. But you know what? Uncle Jack's getting really fucking frustrated sitting here in El Salvador with you guys mentally masturbating, not putting everything together. Why? Because I'm worried about you, Marty. I'm worried about Bitcoiners. We have made the correct decision. The biggest criminals in the world are in Washington, D.C., but they're in the Pentagon, and they are controlling the idiots that people keep voting for. The reason we keep voting for idiots has a lot to do with this story that I'm telling you right now. And the fact that Elon has uncovered through Doge how the whole program's working, this is a good thing. But that's why I'm telling you, I think he's not a nefarious guy yet. He's being groomed as a useful idiot. This is exactly what General Groves did in the Manhattan Project. He didn't let Oppenheimer know everything. He didn't let Teller know everything. He didn't let Einstein or Bohr know everything. Why? the architects of the whole plan, they're the only ones that knew everything. And right now, guys that are in and around Trump, specifically Bessent, Lutnick, Elon, Peter Thiel, these are the guys that are all being used to actually change the Rockefeller Rothschild empire into a technocratic control. Remember, you don't need to control money when you can control people. That's the Meyer-Lansky idea. They've now taken it through technology at global scale. So when I see you at a Bitcoin meeting and I see you wearing those AirPods and I tell you, please take those out of your head, I'm not doing it to be a dickhead. I'm actually trying to protect you from somebody taking your Bitcoin. Everybody in Bitcoin knows about SIM swap attacks and things like that. This is the biologic SIM attack. I want you to know that the people that we're dealing with, these are the most nefarious people on the planet. They cannot be trusted at all. I'm going to say something here, first time probably publicly on a podcast. This is the reason I no longer trust Michael Saylor. It's also the reason I no longer trust Cynthia Lummis. Cynthia Lummis, most of the things that she's saying, she tells us the things we want to hear, but she's keeping guys like A16Z and Mark Andreessen in the game and the jackasses from Ripple so that they can keep getting their PAC money. That's really what the goal is. That's what the whole stockpile reserve bullshit's about. This is the reason why Trump is, you know, showing the world that he's a shitcoiner, because he is. He knows that he has to replace all this USAID money with something else. And that's the game plan I think is going on. And I think the thing that worries me about Saylor the last year, he's done a lot of good things for us. But the one bad thing is he keeps harping on this store of value and not, you know, using it as currency. I'm just going to tell you that that is a very slick way to get people to realize the most important part of Bitcoin is alloydial title. It means self-custody. Self-custody is alloydial title. And if you allow somebody to take alloydial title away from you, you are a fucking idiot. And I think we're being conditioned right now by this big corporation that owns 500,000 Bitcoin to be okay with letting Scott Bessent and Coinbase, Kraken, even, you know, the one person I trust right now is Caitlin Long, because she's the one, you know, in 2018, 2019, started warning people, hey, this whole thing about banks custodying Bitcoin is probably not a good idea. And then she's the only person I know that's pointed out why Larry Fink and Lutnick came together about the ETFs. Why the ETFs are another way for which them to try to control the Bitcoin market, you know, in nefarious ways. And I think when you see this whole story laid out and where it started, the biologic side. The biologic side is so incredibly important in this story, Marty. And that's the reason why I'm very, very happy, you know, that you have highlighted Kevin. Kevin is involved in this. He understands, you know, the 5D warfare that's really going on here. I want everybody to know, stay and be a decentralized savage, but you need to be way more vigilant than you think.
Yeah, that you are connecting a lot of dots here too, particularly bring it back to Kevin and what's happened over the last 6 months, like RFK specifically. I mean, you, Ron McCauley on the Danny Jones podcast, and really called it out. Like, it's almost like a limited hangout. We're shifting from focus on the jabs to preventative health, which everybody knows is a good thing, but it has been odd that the focus on what I would deem to be a crime against humanity has been swept under the rug. And then even Kevin, he's been attacked by people in that sphere, Alex Berenson specifically, who was part of the Twitter files. And it seems like anybody is trying to get this information out either gets co-opted or...
Well, there's another one, attacked. Sasha Lapatova, she's also a spook. And she has been trying to undercut Kevin for a while. Kevin is too nice a guy. He's not going to call it out. But you probably know me from my Twitter. My mouth's not a fucking bakery. I'm going to go after people when I think they're doing nefarious things to savages. And I look at anybody who owns Bitcoin as a savage. You may not be wise about the mitochondrial health side of things, but I look at it like I'm that old Bitcoiner that's lived through a lot of this stuff and know how this process has been put together. I can tell you that I was brought into Bitcoin by somebody who's being harmed by this DARPA system that knew a lot more than you think he knows, and sold it to somebody who now is the modern day Lee Harvey Oswald. I want people to know really what's going on, because I've just made a lot of predictions to you, Marty. You're going to be able to now follow and track this. A lot of things that are going to happen are going to make sense. Maybe now you can begin to understand why Larry Page and Lutnick were in the Oval Office with Trump and said, hey, I think we should start selling warrants, you know, on vaccines and things we use, and we should make money off that. I want you to think about how such a shitcoin idea that is when you actually think about it. And, you know, just so you know, I made sure I told people in Bitcoin Clubhouse, specifically American HODL, and one of the guys working on, you know, Lummis's bill, Zach Shapiro. I said, I'm just telling you, fucking Lutnick is absolutely someone you need to avoid. He is a huge problem. And when Trump moved him from Treasury to Commerce, I was like, okay, still a problem. And then when he brings Brissette in, I'm like, dude, this guy's chops, he's a Fabian. He's tied to Alan Dulles. He's tied to the World Economic Forum. I like some of the stuff he's talking about with tariffs and things like that, and going back to a time, you know, before the Federal Reserve Act. But remember what I told you, Marty, what's the real game plan? The game plan here is we're going to destroy the Rothschild Rockefeller control system, and we're going to install the technocrats. But I want to make sure you know who the technocrats are. It's DARPA. Okay? Peter Thiel works for DARPA. Donald Trump works for DARPA. J.D. Vance is DARPA. Okay? That's who's running this game. And the more we use technology, the worse it is. The only, like, I'll give you another one. The Solari Park chick. She's always talking shit about Bitcoin. She doesn't understand that Bitcoin is not like all the other cryptos. Okay? Bitcoin is the only out for this system. Even if we have technocratic control, because it's fully decentralized, you can get out. But you have to self-custody. You cannot allow your Bitcoin to be in someone else's hands. I can't stress this enough, that the message that has just started to ooze from Saylor's mouth for the last year is a problem. And maybe now some of you who know Dorsey's a good friend of mine, why he showed that video on Twitter with Michael becoming an XRP coin. Now you understand why. We are warning you, this is the same idea that Big Pharma does with you. When you go to the pediatrician and you're sick, you expect the pediatrician to write you a prescription. We have made that the norm in centralized medicine. And I believe what's happening from the people on the inside of Bitcoin is they are trying to make the norm that you're okay calling up the guys from Unchained Capital, say, ah, fuck it, let me just put my money with Fidelity or Schwab. I don't want you to do that. I'm telling you, it's a huge risk. And you don't realize the risk because you don't realize that DARPA now has the ability to get your seed phrases. And many people, I guarantee you, Marty, when you release this, they're going to hear this and go, this Jack Cruz is crazy. He's this and that. Go search the guy in Ethereum that just gave up $1.4 billion and posted.
He signed a message, yeah.
You got it. He posted that he did it. I'm going to tell you even something crazier. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. I'm going to make another prediction for the Marty Ben podcast. Within 2 or 3 years, you will find out that someone in the Ethereum Foundation is supporting with huge amounts of money someone in the messenger RNA platform, supporting their research. Mark my words. They're not your friends either.
Yeah. The narrative is pretty, it's funny that we're talking about self-custody. And I think the narrative of Bitcoin is digital real estate. It's digital property. It doesn't compete with the dollar. It's been completely misguided. I was on stage last week sticking up for Bitcoin as a medium exchange currency that you should self-custody. I'm going to record with Parker Lewis either later today or tomorrow on his most recent paper. But I too, well, agree.
Do me a favor. When you talk to Parker, before you hit the record button, ask Parker about the last meeting that him and I had face-to-face. Ask him specifically about it and why I'm asking you to ask. I think you'll be very interested because it probably will start some interesting discussions between you and Parker on that podcast.
Yeah. I might even wait till he might be right outside right now. I might ask him.
But, there you go. That's beautiful.
Yeah. It does feel like we're at this inflection point where, at least in the Bitcoin space, it seems like Bitcoin has been identified as a threat and people are being placed to sort of co-opt and control the threat. And I guess my question to you is, in your mind, the best outcome besides people really internalizing that they need to self-custody and not give up their keys? Like, what does an ultimate win in this battle look like against these people trying to force us into this panopticon?
I think the number one thing, the way I look at it, and I'm going to take the biologic lens. There was a time in Earth's history after we evolved that the human population got down to 70 to 100,000 for a variety of different reasons. From that 70 to 100,000, we are now turned into 8 billion. I look at the Bitcoin community as that 70 to 100,000. Doesn't mean the rest of people are going to die. They're just going to be the economic slaves. Okay. They're going to be the people that Klaus Schwab and DARPA are trying to create. And what I'm saying is that if we all stick together and watch each other's backs, I look at this morning, you have eyes, Parker has eyes, Dorsey has eyes. You are expert at seeing things that Uncle Jack doesn't see. But I happen to be expert at seeing things that you guys don't see. And I think that when we get together and do podcasts like this, I think when we get together and we share each other's tweets, I think when we sit down on, say, stages together and we have discussions like this, to me, this is the stuff that we should be talking about in Bitcoin meetings that nobody wants to talk about, because we are our own country without a border. And I think we proved the world that when we got Trump elected. We were the ones that pushed him over the line. The problem is, if we're being honest, a lot of the shitcoiners helped us. That's why the shitcoiners got David Sacks. That's why they've co-opted Lummis. That's why they've got a seat at the table. And I don't think as Maxis, we can be upset with that. Why? Because remember, we're the predators, they're the prey. Predators always need prey. We actually need the shitcoiners to do stuff like this. So I look at this new society building that we are the masters and the shitcoiners are our cows, and we are going to use them to build a new world that we live in. If other people want to come into it, the price of admission is simple. Just buy Bitcoin. That's all you need to do. We're not asking you to do anything else. But once you come into the tribe and you understand what we're about, that we're about sovereignty, freedom, and that we take it to the nth degree. We even go past what's in the Second Amendment. And the things that I'm worried about, the Second Amendment is meant to protect yourself from acute lead toxicity. What I'm trying to tell you now, Marty, is that they're not coming after us with guns because they know we'd shoot them. They're coming after us with needles to kill us. And they're using electromagnetic radiation to do this silently so that we have no earthly idea what's really going on. And I'm going to tell you, the big risk that I see with Bitcoiners, all of you fuckers are addicted to technology. Like, I can't tell you how sick to my stomach I get when I see all the Apple things in your ears and all the other bullshit. Look, I told Matthias Kuchar, the head of Prague, last year, when I got on the stage, I said, dude, this stage will kill anybody with all the light you got on it. So I'm going back there this year. So is Kevin. Me and Kevin are going to be speaking in Prague. And I told Matthias, when me and Kevin come on, you make sure that it's all red light. You put red light on the stage. And I said, then we'll be A-OK. Why? Because really, Marty, the message that I want to get to people is actually the message that I'm delivering to you on this podcast. I want every Bitcoiner to know you don't have to like me. I just want to make sure that you have Windex on your glass eyes and you know who the enemies really are. I want to make sure that you are an informed individual. I look at this podcast and delivering it to you. I'm doing my informed consent with you. I look at you as my patient. Why? Because you own Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the money of decentralized medicine. And you potentially are a future client of the doctors that I'm training. And I am trying to protect a flock that I think is the most valuable flock on the planet. Why? Because you are first principle thinkers. You're decentralized. I just need to get you decentralized everywhere. And I want people to know that the reason I'm a hard ass, even on people that are doing good things, I mean, you know that I've gone after Whitney and I've gone after Mark in several places. The reason why is half-truths always lead to full lies. We need to understand our enemy, dude. Just look at Sun Tzu's book about the art of war. Everything I've told you in this podcast is actually about that book. You don't know what this enemy is capable of doing. And they are using an angle of attack that none of you are prepared for. Not one of you. In fact, most of you are walking right into their hands because all of you are addicted to what the technocrats are selling you.
Yeah, that's, and I can see a lot of people listening to this be like, it's crazy. But to me, it's like they've literally, going back to Havana Syndrome, that was somewhat of a quote-unquote conspiracy theory for the longest times. And then it was made apparent, like, yes, this is happening. And then in the defense tech startup world, I mean, Joe Lonsdale's talked about this pretty openly on CNBC. Like, they're actively building microwave technology to do things. I mean, they market it as we're going to shoot down drones and sort of fry people.
Well, that's remotely. The utopian side of it. The dystopian side, you need to know how it works. So, like, I just wrote a blog yesterday because I knew I was coming on with you. I decided to write this blog right before. I'm getting ready to talk to a group of older Bitcoiners that have a lot of money tomorrow. And they asked me, many of them are involved in the defense industry. They're like, we want to know. We know that we've worked on this project, but we want to know exactly how it works. So you brought up the issue with Havana Syndrome. I'm going to explain to you exactly how this works and why the tech is so ingenious. Inside your cochlea, you have a melanin sheet. It sounds crazy to you. It's inside a bone that you use for hearing, tied to the endolymphatic sac. What you don't know, it also is a place that doesn't have a blood-brain barrier. So when they use pulsed electromagnetic radiation, depending on the frequency, that depends on what you get distally. What is the ultimate endpoint in your brain? It causes a traumatic brain injury. Why? Because this isn't the way the system was evolved to work. It was evolved to work differently. But they have now disconnected your antenna, your GPS system in your brain. How did they do that? By putting these heavy atomic elements inside your CSF. What does that do? It ruins the fidelity of the antenna system. If you think that this is crazy, just so you understand, your thalamus in the center of your brain is known as where all the five senses come in. Your thalamus is actually what allows you to connect to the sun and the earth to create biologic rhythms. You've heard of those, called the circadian rhythms. Do you know what the emission of the thalamus is? 7.83 hertz. You know what that is? That's the Schumann resonance of the earth. Where does that come from, Marty? That's when the solar wind hits our ionosphere, you make an aurora, electricity comes down in lightning. The ionosphere that we live in on this tectonic surface is like the inside of a guitar. Every time electricity hits the planet, it creates a waveform. That waveform is 7.83 hertz. Your brain, every living thing, let me be clear about this. Every living thing on the planet emits this alpha wave. What did MKUltra, SRI, and the Brain Health Initiative teach DARPA? That if you disconnect people from that signal, you can take over the controls of the brain. So what did they do then? Once they take that away, then they start using directed energy weapons to target different senses in you. And what's the ultimate effect? They started to do this at scale in the Iraq war. Do you want to know why all these guys came back in the theater with PTSD? That's the reason why. Now, I'm not going to tell you this, but I left my practice in Nashville because I knew this was going on. I've never told anybody this. I went to Mississippi specifically to work at the Hattiesburg Clinic. Do you know why I went? Hattiesburg Clinic had a government contract with the military where people would come and go from the theater. Do you know what that allowed me to do? It allowed me to examine people pre and post for these injuries. Got it? And then when I left there, where did I go? Opened up a TBI clinic in New Orleans. So if you don't think that Uncle Jack has been working on this for a long time, you're out your fucking mind. And then how was I able to do all this? Marty, I wasn't connected to the system. I don't give a fuck about your fiat money. Bitcoin is what allowed me to stay outside this system and do this. That's the key. And that's what you need to understand. That's the reason why I actually care about you guys more than I care about my fiat friends. My fiat friends have made a decision to stay plugged into the system that is going to taper the Ponzi scheme. Marty, I've tried to tell them in no uncertain terms. I can tell you, I've told Rick Rubin this story. Jack Dorsey, his orange-pilled Rick, we've been telling him and telling him and telling him. It's hard for people to fathom that this stuff's going on there. But guess what? When you look up Fry syndrome or microwave syndrome, you'll find out that I'm exactly right, that they can use pulse microwave to make voices in your head. And you know what the irony is? When you talk to people who have had this problem, I've talked to so many soldiers with this problem, they have actually heard people, voices coming from the center of their head. Do you know why? Because that's where the thalamus is emitting the antenna signals. So guess what? The people that have melanin in their brain, they're the ones that actually can harm the government. The government does, they want to stay completely clandestine and covert. That's the reason why people need to upgrade their melanin systems. It makes you more resistant to this. So if you want to keep your seed phrases clean 30 years from now, if you're the one of those people that keeps it in your head, then you better make sure that you live inside the tropics and that you're outside like a rotisserie chicken. I'm going to tell you, the people that have to worry the most are people that lived in geoengineered cities. If you want to know the reason why the cities are being geoengineered, remember, if you don't use processed food, if you don't use supplements, if you don't use drugs, what's the next way to get you? Geoengineer it, the shit falls out of the sky and goes right in the ethmoid sinus, in the roof of your nose, where your pituitary has no blood-brain barrier. Dude, they have thought of it all. They're that good. And some of these people that came back from the theater at this military base, I used to take CSF samples from them. And I would send them to a place, not to do an MRI of their brain. I do nuclear magnetic resonance of their CSF to look for those atoms. Guess what? I didn't see one person that came back with PTSD that didn't have those atoms in their CSF. So, Marty, you want to take a guess now why Uncle Jack lives in El Salvador?
Increase that melanin.
You want to take a guess why the FBI, CIA, and DARPA has been to visit Uncle Jack a lot in the last 10 or 12 years? They wanted to know exactly what I told you in this podcast. They wanted to know how much I knew. Well, guess what? Now you know why I didn't want to go talk to Rick and Huberman. Because when you allow this shit to come out, dude, it's not a good place to be. Remember what Voltaire said. When you start to talk against the people in power, it's a huge issue. And am I worried about it? Yeah. Now I know that the globalists, the people in DARPA, are now coming to El Salvador. You don't believe it? Remember the adopting Bitcoin meeting that we had here in November?
Mm-hmm.
Sergey Brin magically turned my feed off. I was the only person that got turned off from the stage. Did you know that?
I did not know that. On YouTube?
Ask Nico. Nico and his partner, they couldn't believe it. Everybody else, Max and Stacy, had no problem. But Uncle Jack, the internet got turned off in El Salvador.
That is fascinating. Because I've seen this too, like Cody Wilson from Defense Distributed, he's described it the same way, where he was 24 naive. The Voltaire quote really made me think of it, where he was just naive, interested in the stuff and passionate about it. And then they went and dragged him through the mud for the better part of a decade. And he's still fighting. But this, this death athletic, this athletic death that individuals really end up having to produce to get this information out there is,
Well, I have to put almost all of my stuff behind a paywall. Why? Because you mentioned before about the Cali Means Danny Jones and Mary Tally Bowden podcast. I just want to make sure you understand. I think Mary is one of those people that Bitcoiners are going to hire. But remember what happened to her. She's still plugged into the fiat side. She doesn't understand Bitcoin yet. She just had to pay $266,000 to protect herself from the Texas Medical Board. Mm-hmm. DARPA is weaponizing medical boards and hospital bylaws against doctors who fall out of line. If you want to know the truth, that's really what's going on with Mary, but Mary doesn't know it. I want you guys to know it, because guess what? Mary is going to be a good guy. She's trying to help you guys avoid the problems. As much as I hate a guy like Peter McCormick, because I do, I don't like him at all. I think he's a real problem. Peter took a couple of jabs so he could go all over the world and talk. Peter needs Mary Tally Bowden more than you can know. She's trying to make ivermectin over the counter everywhere in the world. Peter's never going to get the drugs that he needs because he took those jabs. And he has no idea what his real risk is. And I told you, I don't like him. But remember, Marty is part of our family. You know what that means? That means I have a duty to make sure, because he's got a big mouth. Maybe he can save some of those communist bastards in the EU by getting them to buy Bitcoin and get off their fiat. I mean, it's the truth. And we need to look at ourselves as a decentralized army, because that's really what we are. And we are aligned because we have our loyal title. What I want is I need to keep you guys as healthy can be. What am I most interested in Bitcoiners? Head up. Okay. I want you to guys to be so freaking smart and become first principle thinkers, because I'm just going to tell you, it's just not good enough to be intelligent. You have to realize that first principle thinking is decentralized thinking. It's the thing that will keep you out of making mistakes in your life. Like why you won't take affiliate codes, why you won't, you know, sell supplements to hurt somebody. This is the reason why I do things that are crazy. Like people ask me all the time, Jack, why don't you tell people who's got the best red light? Because the best red light's the fucking sun. Okay. That's the reason why. Jack, why don't you let us advertise on, you know, different things on your site, you know, with, you know, our paleo snacks or our carnivore snacks? Because your shit, I've put in an MRI scanner and it's got fucking bad shit in it. And I know that almost every Bitcoiner out there uses Apple iPods. I don't want you guys fucking using this stuff. But, you know, it sounds crazy when I come out against Peter Attia or Rhonda Patrick and I say the things that I say, or even Huberman. They have no idea why I'm telling you what I'm telling you, because I have had to be clandestine. That's why most of my stuff is behind Patreon. When you guys go read my quantum engineering series and you're a Bitcoiner, you may not know a lot of science, but you know what you're going to do after you hear this podcast? You're going to go, Jack just taught us absolutely everything that we're going to need to know for the next 50 years, how to avoid this technocratic system that's replacing the Rothschilds and Rockefellers. Because I got news for you. You wonder how much power this system has? You know, the guys that put their fingers on the nuclear codes, they're worthless too. Nuclear weapons are worthless in this. Jason Lowry hasn't even gone far enough. His book, he ain't where I'm at. Why? Because if you can control the people that control the nuclear codes, what good are the bombs? You can use them anytime. You can have somebody who's not even in the tight circle start the whole mix. So like the story of what's going on in Ukraine right now, the story that's what's going on in Russia, bro. One of the things that Trump has done that I think is good, I don't think Russia is our enemy. I think the people in Ukraine, the people in the Middle East and in that desert, those are the people that are our enemy. Those are the people we need to be really careful with. And those are the people that keep pushing us to all these wars. We need to stay out of wars. We need to focus on building our country back. But the savages that are in that country need to understand they need to build citadels to protect themselves from the people that are in Washington, D.C. and the Pentagon. Why? Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, all those dudes in the Federalist paper, they were right. It's the bankers, now the technocrats. I'm going to tell you, when we come together at Bitcoin meetings, we need to have a Continental Congress, but it needs to be filled with Bitcoiners. Parker Lewis is one of the perfect people, I think, for you to talk to after talking to me, because Parker gets this. Parker understands. I think he really gets that we need to get a core group of Bitcoiners to understand that our biggest risk right now isn't the people that I think the old cypherpunks were worried about. The bankers are now small potatoes. The guys that are in the Pentagon are the ones we got to worry about.
Yeah. I completely agree. And on the getting immersed in wars in Ukraine or Israel is what I tweeted out last night. It's our true policy to steer clear of permanent alliance with any portion of the foreign world was George Washington in his farewell speech. We need to get out.
Correct. And that's why I love coming on and talk to you, because look, I follow your tweets. I know you and I, you can tell the people out here, you and I have never met. We've never talked, but we kind of have. We both have an ambient awareness of who each other is. And the ethos that you put in that tweet is exactly where I come from. George Washington easily could have been a monarch for what he did in the American Revolution. But what did he do? He said, no. He goes, I don't want to become what I just replaced. He goes, if we're going to do this, we need to do it right. The documents are out there. Let's follow the documents. And what I'm saying, I guess, to you very clearly, and as I told you before, my mouth's not a bakery. Our founding document is that white paper. Don't forget it. And make sure that the people that are around you that you trust the most, that they see it that way too. And those are the people that we build our world around. We can still have our world in the middle of this fiat shitstorm. I don't need the government to have an SBR. I don't need the government to own Bitcoin. Why? I need fucking savages to own Bitcoin. And I need savages to know that they have to perform supreme self-custody. I mean, you ask Parker Lewis, I've probably sent him more people than you can imagine. In Nashville, one of his guys came up to me and said, Jack, we'd like to do something for you, you know, off the cuff. You know what I told him? I said, fuck that. I'm not interested. You take care of these savages. That's all I want you to do. These are our people. These are the people that we're going to build this world around. And dude, I believe that. Like, it's part of my DNA. It's part of the reason that I've said publicly that Kevin McKiernan, he doesn't need a Nobel Prize because the Nobel Prize isn't good enough for him. He needs a decentralized Nobel Prize. We in Bitcoin need to come up with a prize for people like Kevin. Maybe we all chip in and it's one Bitcoin a year that we give to somebody who represents what we want. That way we can resonate out to the fiat cucks out there what we're about.
I completely agree. Own the frame, own the awards, own the narrative. I think this conversation is going to be big for the narrative, and hopefully it's the first of many, because I think the noise is only going to increase from here as things accelerate. And like you were saying on the Strategic Bitcoin Reserve, that my newsletter this morning was the real Strategic Bitcoin Reserve is the Bitcoin held in wallets of the public, individuals that make up that public. That's a true.
And I totally agree with that. I'm glad, you know, this is more proof that quantum biology is acting through this global electric network. You write that, and then I come on here and we talk about it, but neither one of us talked about it beforehand. That's quantum entanglement, my friend. It's just like this story, you know, that I told Huberman and Rick, and I told Breedlove about the kid with that got killed and whose heart was in someone else about the French fries. It's exactly the same thing. People don't understand that brains can be yoked together. And it turns out DARPA figured this out, and they're trying to steal that connection. They are trying to come in and control us in ways that you guys can only, you can't even fathom. And as long as we keep our connection strong and we keep resonating with each other, we're all like tuning forks that are out there. And I don't expect everybody to know the hardcore science. You want to learn it, I will teach it to you on Patreon, but I think the single most important part of the story is for people to listen to what you and I have been talking about for an hour and a half, that you don't have to like somebody, you still be in battle with them. And that's how I look at Bitcoiners. You know, just like your family, you know, you got a brother-in-law you can't fucking stand, or a mother-in-law you can't stand. Doesn't mean when the chips are down, you know, you're going to throw them in a wood chipper. You just may talk shit about them at, you know, Thanksgiving. But I feel the same way about some of my patients. You know, I treat them like drill sergeants. Why? I'm trying to get them ready for the battle that's coming. That most of them don't understand, you know, what the art of war that DARPA can use against us. And once you're aware of what your enemy is capable of, then guess what? They can't hurt you, because you'll know how to counter their moves. And here's the crazy thing, Marty. What I learned in studying MKUltra, SRI, and the Brain Health Initiative, that all one needs to do is make like the Sphinx and eat like a great white shark. It's the simplest decentralized message you could ever imagine. Ground every morning, look to the sun, and make sure you get enough sun so that you can absorb anything they throw at you. And I mean that literally and figuratively. If you do that, you're good.
I think a lot of people, at least in my circle in Bitcoin, have been taking your advice to heart. Sun, steel, stay away from big pharma, eat pure foods. It's certainly affected my life.
Well, I'm going to say one more thing that I think I need to say, and this could be a rhetorical question or you can get into it. Tell you one of my big concerns. One of my big concerns is when we get our meetings and we come together, I think we're becoming fish in a barrel for them. I think we need to start thinking about doing our meetings from now on in a decentralized fashion. I think we need to do it like this, online only. And I think we need to separate it up. Just like the federal government doesn't keep everybody together on Inauguration Day. I think we need to be a little bit smarter about that.
I completely agree. And
David Bailey's probably going to hate this, but sorry.
Dr. Cruz, thank you, Jack. Uncle Jack, I'll start calling you Uncle Jack. Thank you for this. Again, hopefully the first of many. I've got a lot to digest here, but I think I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
A lot of information, freaks. What I would say is take it in. Don't be openly skeptical. And
no, I want you to be skeptical. I want you to be a Bitcoiner. But just remember, for the new Bitcoiners that maybe haven't heard me before, maybe I'm the first time they're hearing from me is because it's your audience. I gave you a lot of things that you can go and look and fact check Uncle Jack. You're going to find out. There's one thing you'll find out about me. I do my homework. I do it a lot better than you think. And when I connect the dots for you, and trust me, have I delivered this message to the highest levels of government? Yes, I have. Do I trust any politician? No, I do not. Now I'm watching that I've injected the chaos into them to see what they do. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. But right now, I don't trust any of them.
Yeah. Correct phrase, be skeptical, but also have an open mind. Dr. Jack Cruz, thank you so much.
No problem. Anytime, Mario. It's a pleasure.
My pleasure. Peace and love, freaks. Thank you.